Welcome to Journeys with Stories.
Today, we embark on a journey to the southeastern region of our land. Besides the famous vineyards, there are also amazing works of art created by nature itself. The Moravian Karst is dotted with 1,100 caves, five of which are accessible to the public. We can even take a tour of the underground river Punkva. Those who prefer hills to caves shouldn't miss the outlook from the peaks of the Pallava Heights. Besides nature's beauty, however, there are lots of monuments and reminders of the great human history waiting for us.
Great human history usually involves some terrible war. But South Moravia is significant for spiritual reasons as well. The Byzantine brothers Cyril and Methodius, who were the first to translate the Bible into a common Slavic language, came to this region, and even the Russian Orthodox Church dates the beginning of their Christianization back to the Great Moravia and its legacy.
Yes, yes. Cyril and Methodius probably did indeed come to what is now the South Moravian region.
Probably.
The thing is, nobody knows for sure where the capital of Great Moravia, with a rather unimaginative name, Velegrad, meaning the city, actually was. At first glance, the name of course sounds similar to the present-day Velehrad. Archaeological findings, however, suggest that it had been located a few kilometres away on the site of present-day Stare Mesto by Uherské Hradiště. Or it might have been somewhere completely else. There's a number of different theories on this.
Stare Mesto sounds promising as well. We shouldn't ignore Velehrad, though. Wherever the capital of Great Moravia may have been, it is, after all, the most famous pilgrimage destination in the Czech Republic. Every year, on the St. Cyril and Methodius Day, the 5th of July, there is a national pilgrimage to Velehrad. Notably, Pope John Paul II also visited in 1990, the year after the revolution. 5 years earlier, in 1985, he awarded the Golden Rose to the Velehrad Basilica, one of the only four places to have been granted such an honour, the other three being Lourdes in France, Guadeloupe in Mexico, and Częstochowa in Poland.
The tradition of this pilgrimage place dates back at least to the foundation of the first Cistercian monastery in Moravia in the 13th century. The Baroque Basilica of Assumption of Mary and St. Cyrilus and Methodius was built on the Romanesque foundations of the monastery. For a long time, the 100-metre-long, five-naved basilica had been the largest church in the land. The high altar was made in Rome to commemorate the 1,000th anniversary of Cyril's and Methodius's arrival in Moravia.
Uherský Brod, located 14 kilometres from Uherské Hradiště, is another town we should visit. After all, the town, or the nearby village of Nivnice, is the birthplace of a world-famous bishop of the Unity of the Brethren, Jan Amos Komenský. The local museum has a permanent exhibition dedicated to the life and opus of the Teacher of Nations.
The Gothic John Hus Church is another place to see in Uherský Brod. It is the oldest sacral building in the town.
A Hussite Gothic church? How is that possible?
Originally, it was a Roman Catholic church consecrated to St. John the Baptist. In 1733, however, the parish was moved to another church, and this one was deconsecrated. It served as a storehouse, and since 1898, partly as a regional museum. In 1920, the Czechoslovak Hussite Church took over the church and repaired it. The current Catholic parish church is the three-nave Baroque Church of the Immaculate Conception of Virgin Mary. The dominant feature of the town is the Dominican monastery with the Church of the Assumption of the Virgin Mary, most likely built in the early 14th century.
It seems almost everything here is consecrated to the Virgin Mary, doesn't it?
Indeed. The cult of Mary is very prevalent in South Moravia. Out of the 61 Catholic pilgrimage places in the Diocese of Brno, a full half is consecrated to the Virgin Mary. Even the Velehrad Basilica we were talking about earlier had the co-patronage of Saints Cyril and Methodius added only in 1932, after more than 700 years of its existence.
What about other denominations?
Besides Unity of the Brethren and the Hussites, radical Anabaptists who fled from persecution they suffered in German land settled here. By the latter half of the 16th century, 20 to 30,000 Anabaptists lived here. Known around the world as Hutterites, they were called Habani in our country, the term possibly stemming from the German word Haushaben, meaning to have a home. They lived in a commune of about 150 people. All their property was shared, and each individual had their own role and mission within the community. They didn't recognize secular courts and professed absolute pacifism.
Sounds very idyllic.
However, the life in the communities was very strict and focused on individual trades and crafts. Anabaptists excelled in pottery, skilled in the faience technique, but also in the fields of medicine and wine growing.
So the Anabaptist cellars in Dambositsa are named after them?
Yes, Dambositsa was one of their main centres, and of course Mikulov, the place where Balthasar Hubmaier, one of the main Anabaptist theologians, came in 1525. It is said that he baptised 6,000 people in the course of a year. 3 years later, however, he was seized and delivered to Vienna, where he was executed by burning.
There was also an important Jewish centre in Mikulov. From the mid-16th century, Mikulov was the seat of the Landesrabbiners of Moravia for over 300 years.
The Jewish ghetto and its 317 houses are no more. But still, there is a large Jewish cemetery with several thousand graves and also a Baroque synagogue serving as a Jewish museum. The first Jews settled in Moravia already in the 11th century, mainly in royal towns. Even though the Hussite movement didn't affect Moravia as much as it affected Bohemia, its impact on Jewish settlements in Moravia had much greater consequences than on their counterparts in the Bohemian lands. For their support of the king, the townsmen successfully demanded that he expel Jews from Moravian royal towns. For the next four centuries, Jews would not live in royal towns. Instead, they would live in so-called lordship manors.
If we have enough time, we could also visit the nearby Legnice-Valtice area, also called the Garden of Europe.
And after that, we could have some delicious wine, maybe in Znojmo.
Oh, I'd prefer the renowned Znojmo pickles. The town of Znojmo flourished especially in the 13th and 14th centuries, during which the streets were paved and a water distribution system was built. There's an interesting story related to the 11th century St. Catherine's Rotunda, whose interior frescoes from the year 1134, depicting the ducal Przemyslid family, survive to this day, as if by a miracle. In the 18th century, though, things were looking pretty grim. In 1710, a part of the old Przemyslid castle was sold to local citizens and turned into a brewery, with every building in its vicinity falling victim to the construction, except the rotunda. At first it served as a cow shed, then as a dance hall and a public tap. Only in 1888 was the rotunda rebuilt, and in the early 20th century the frescoes were restored as well. Let's travel to Brno now.
One of the most popular tourist destinations is the Capuchin Monastery with the Church of the Discovery of the Holy Cross and the famous crypt close to the Green Market. In 2012, the ossuary of the Gothic St. Jacob's Church should finally be open to the public. The Evangelical Christ Church, also called the Red Church, is exceptional as well. However, it is the Basilica of the Assumption of Our Lady in the Old Town that is considered a true gem of Gothic architecture in Moravia. The panorama of the city is dominated by the Cathedral of St. Peter and Paul in Petrov that also holds a 14th century Gothic Madonna and Child.
Did you know that the bells of the cathedral toll midday an hour early?
Really? Can you tell us why?
It's done to commemorate the siege of the city by the Swedes. The Swedish general Torstensson promised to call off the attack if they had not succeeded in taking the city in 100 days by midday. As luck would have it, the last day was August the 15th, an important Catholic feast day of the Virgin Mary. This miscalculation might just have bolstered the resolve of the exhausted defenders so that they were able to fight on. Legend has it that the city was saved by the old cathedral toller, who rang midday an hour early. As soon as the Swedes heard the bell, they broke off the fight and were gone by the evening. Come to think of it, I might start calling you to lunch an hour early as well.
When reading an interesting book, I lose the track of time. By the way, right outside of Brno, there lies the age-old centre of education, the Benedictine Monastery in Reihrad. The Moravian Literary Museum has been open since 2005, featuring the fascinating historic Benedictine Library, remarkable not only because of its literary archives, but its beautiful furniture as well. Further to the south, about 30 kilometres from Brno, lies the town of Ivančica, which was the seat of the Bishops of Unity of the Brethren in the 16th century. It was also the residence of Jan Blahoslav and Václav Solín. The latter also oversaw the local Brethren printing press before it was moved to Kralice. Both the Brethren school and the Brethren house, with a Renaissance-style portal, have survived. Nearby, there is also one of the most valuable Romanesque sacral buildings in Moravia, the early 12th century church of St. Peter and Paul.
If, on the other hand, we head north of Brno, we find ourselves in the Moravian karst. Is there anything there we shouldn't miss?
I would recommend the so-called Vanovice bars, the only device of its kind. They are located in the largest evangelical church in Moravia, in Vanovice by Boskovice. After the Edict of Tolerance, a temporary wooden chapel was built, later replaced by a masonry one in 1843. Nonetheless, evangelical churches were still prohibited from having towers or bells. The local minister had a device installed with steel bars that made a noise similar to that of a bell. They came to be known as the Vanovice bars, and later, when the evangelicals were finally allowed to build towers, the bars have been placed into a newly constructed tower, where they can be seen even today.
That's all for now. Have a great time, and we hope to meet you during the next journey with a story.